Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. That is the Peanut Gallery saying we won't take it. They're the illegal aliens who want the people of America to pay not only for their free education, but their citizenship fees and their green cards. I don't know what they're referring to when they say we won't take it. I do not think they're referring to a free education, which they apparently took, nor to full support from the American people, which I think they took. And I don't think they're referring to the green cards they were asking for a few weeks ago. I do not know what they mean by we won't take it. I don't think they mean the one-way tickets that I offered them back to Tijuana. I don't think they mean that either. Joining them was a radical homosexual screamer by the name of Tom Ammiano, the laughingstock of the free world, who has attacked the U.S. military, the San Francisco Police Department, mother and father, God, apple pie, the church, the Blue Angels, and anyone else that reflects the America that gave him the power to be the sissy that he is. Listen to what Tom Ammiano had to say.
To Mr. Savage, I say Benvenuto a Mexico.
Well, I guess that's the translation. I try to keep it in the exact tone in which he spoke it. There was no mocking intended. There's no need to mock Tom Ammiano. All he's got to do is open his yap. And so there it was, 25 of them and 75 members of the press and police. And I don't know what else to say. There's nothing to say to you. Tomorrow they go to the radio station with the Rent-A-Mob to try to get me fired. I doubt whether they're going to achieve their end. I do not know whether the federal government sent the FBI out with cameras. I know they didn't send the deportation buses, which they should have done. They should have sent deportation buses and deported them because they are acknowledged to be illegal aliens. So when George Bush says he's going to crack down on illegal aliens, you know he's lying. In fact, he lies about everything. He lies about everything. He said he's going to crack down on illegal aliens. Here they are saying we're illegal aliens, and there was no deportation buses. There were no buses. Even Karl Rove is out of there. I don't know who's left. It's him and Barney, I guess. And then you've got Michael Chertoff and the crystal ball. I get that. That really is very encouraging. The head of Homeland Security has a crystal ball, and the president has a dog to advise him. They certainly don't listen to the American people. But life goes on. I'm a public figure. I'm a volatile public figure, and you have to expect these things. And moreover, I have in my corner a very good civil rights attorney, Dan Horowitz, who was on the show yesterday. And momentarily, we are expecting the defamatory resolution to be introduced in City Hall. We will play that for you live. Apparently, we have somebody in there with a live feed from the San Francisco Stoop Advisors. Now, you want to really have your mind electrified. Here it is. The same supervisors, with the exception of, oh no, he was there. The same supervisors attacking Savage today did something in 2002 that's going to make you understand the entire picture. The same supervisors who were trying to defame me and to have me fired passed a proclamation lauding Hugo Chavez in 2002 for his democracy. I swear to God, this is absolutely true. I'm going to read it to you. The same board of supervisors who are condemning me, America's number one patriot, Michael Savage, commended President Hugo Chavez, anti-Semite, anti-American, fascist dictator. Here it is. Monday, August 12, 2002, 2 p.m. Legislative Chamber, second floor, regular meeting. Board of Supervisors commend President Hugo Chavez Supervisor Daly, he's the same moron who tried to ban the Blue Angels and, of course, is attacking me. Listen to this. Resolution commending the administration of President Hugo Chavez for its commitment to democracy. This is the man. This is the man who has closed down all opposition television stations. These pieces of human offal. Salute him for his democracy and condemn Michael Savage. Now listen to who signed this. Supervisor Lino, the motion was carried by the following vote. Ayes 11. Ammiano, he's the sissy. Daly, he's the commie. Gonzalez, I don't know who he is. Hall, I don't know who he is. Lino, I think he's related to a car collector. Maxwell, related to the coffee house. McGoldrick, I don't know who he is. Gavin Newsom. That's any twosome Newsom who has tried to destroy the American family by mocking marriage. And this guy Peskin, whoever he may be, I never heard of him, as well as Sandoval and Yee. They all signed this in 2002 saying, we commend the administration of President Hugo Chavez for its commitment to democracy. Now, Chavez has seized the entire country in his own hand, dispensed with elections, and these losers, these gold brick bums, including this twosome Newsom mayor, you know, they should all be arrested, by the way, by the FBI for being enemies of the state. This is not opinion. When you have a nation that says we want to destroy you, America, and they're a dictatorship, and then you have city officials on the side of the dictatorship, what does that tell you? Is that freedom of speech? Oh, sure it is. In an insane country that no longer has the will to live, sure it's freedom of speech. Let's turn the clock back in 1939. American Nazis pass a resolution lauding the administration of Chancellor Adolf Hitler for its commitment to democracy. Tell me what the American people would have demanded of the FBI at that time. They would have demanded that such city officials be arrested for sedition. So I have nothing more to say. I am very honored that these vermin, these filthy anti-American, anti-family, anti-police, anti-military, anti-church rats, I am proud to say that they have condemned me because these are the people who commended Chavez. If that doesn't put it in context for you and you don't still know who you are, then I can't help you. Now we can go on to other stories. That's all. When the resolution comes up, we'll play it for you, what these fools are doing. If they continue to defame me, I will sue them. If I suffer any financial loss, I will sue them. And these racist, fascist, phony liberals will understand that they do not live in Chavez's dictatorship. Now, there's a big story that somebody dug up. Admittedly, it was probably dug up by an anti-Bush, anti-Cheney person. I don't know who did it. But it says that Cheney predicted a quagmire in Baghdad back in 1994. This is an astonishing YouTube video. I don't know why it's linked up to another website. It should go right to YouTube, but we will do that. If you go on the video on michaelsavage.com, there it is. It comes up. It is unbelievable to you. 1994, Dick Cheney says invading Baghdad would create a quagmire. This is while Bill Clinton was the president. Start playing this piece about Cheney, please.
Do you think that the U.S. or U.N. forces should have moved into Baghdad?
No.
Why not?
Because if we'd gone to Baghdad, we would have been all alone. There wouldn't have been anybody else with us. It would have been a U.S. occupation of Iraq. None of the Arab forces that were willing to fight with us in Kuwait were willing to invade Iraq. Once you got to Iraq and took it over and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government in Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off.
Let's pause right here. This is Dick Cheney in an interview from April 15th, 1994, saying U.S. forces did the right thing by not entering Baghdad because it would have resulted in a quagmire. I really rest my case because I am speechless. And I am an independent conservative, and I cannot believe that this very same man is the vice president of the United States saying we must stay the course. So if you care to talk about the Ku Klux Klan members of today disguising themselves as good progressives, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. If you want to talk about Chavez's terrorist dictatorship, which they commend while condemning me, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. If you care to help me, you can go on to michaelsavage.com and download some of these articles so you know what really is going on in your world and how the scum of the earth are disguising themselves as progressives, but they're anti-American, anti-family, anti-church, anti-police, anti-military vermin. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There is a war going on in the United States of America right now for the soul of this nation. You have the American people on one side, and you have the government on the other side with the illegal aliens. Make no mistake about it. They took the side of the illegal aliens against the American people. As a result, a good portion of the Bush administration will be fired come November. The Republicans are out of business, a good portion of them. Okay? Let's be very clear about that. Because we feel that we know who the Democrats are. We know that they are an international socialist party that has given over to all of the catchwords of political correctness. Global warming, the fraud, diversity, the invasion, you name it, they're on that side. Gay marriage, the camouflage, whatever it is that offends the average American person, the normal heterosexual American Christian or Jewish person, or the normal heterosexual person in general, the opposition is for. And right now, I am a lightning rod, not the only lightning rod. I am a lightning rod in the sky catching some of the lightning. Make no mistake about it. I'm not the only lightning rod. I may not be the largest lightning rod. I hope I'm not. But as a lightning rod, I'm catching some of the voltage being thrown at us by the forces of evil. I don't know how to make my case any better than I already have. Yesterday, I had one of the top liberal civil rights attorneys on the show trying to explain to you the difference between illegal aliens trying to get me fired and my freedom of speech. Many of you didn't understand it. Today I showed you the very same supervisors and the illegitimate mayoral committee, Eddie Toosom Newsom, who has tried to destroy the American family through his illegal maneuvers of creating homosexual marriage, which is illegal and a mockery of sensibilities of any religion on the planet, going back to the beginning of time, is fundamentally, he's a stooge of worldwide socialism or worldwide Marxism, but he doesn't even know it. He's too shallow to understand that. Don't you understand many of these people are stupid? They're like department store dummies. They have no depth. They don't even know what they're doing and who they're acting for. They don't even understand that they're puppets on the stage of world socialism. You know, I spoke to Horowitz last night after the show, and I said, how could Newsom not understand this? He has a law degree. He said, Michael, he didn't go through the progress that you and I went through. He didn't go through the 60s. He didn't understand. So when you say Animal Farm and George Orwell, he probably never read the book. When you say Huxley and you try to tell him about Brave the World, he probably never read the book. When you mention 1984, he didn't read the book. He didn't know who Lenny Bruce was. He vaguely heard him. Oh, yeah, he was a wild guy. He doesn't understand the progress of this nation and the battles that have been fought and where he sits in those, fits in that constellation, he said to me. I said, you know, that probably explains it all. They really don't understand how they're being used and manipulated by worldwide socialism. They think that they're good, progressive, compassionate liberals when in fact they're not. They're on the side of dictatorship. They're on the side of darkness. The very same man, Newsom, and Daley, and Sandoval, who are trying to get me, were on the side of commending Hugo Chavez in 2002. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen, in front of any jury in the country. Once they said, wait a minute, the same people who are attacking you support Hugo Chavez, and they haven't rescinded what they did in lauding his democracy when it's a fascist dictatorship? I support you, Michael Savage. That would be the rational conclusion for anyone except a diehard racist. Chicago, Ruben, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's indeed a pleasure and an honor to speak to you. Honestly, about 4 months ago, I wouldn't have said that. You turned me off. I thought you were pompous, self-centered, and arrogant, but I have changed my ways. I'm totally hooked on your program. I listen to you every day. My wife thinks I'm crazy. I just used to listen to sports radio, but now you are my hero. You are so right on so many topics that you speak about, especially illegal aliens. I'm a Hispanic second generation, and the legal Hispanics are in fear of identity theft. It's happened to me these illegal aliens are not going to be going after John Martin. They're going to go after a name of Juan Martinez, and it's become a nightmare for us. So,
what do you mean? The illegal community with the gang members that are amongst them are stealing identity of the middle-class Hispanic?
Of course. They're not going to go after an Anglo name.
So you folks really are feeling the heat worse than anyone knows.
Of course. It's a quagmire.
Well, Ruben, look, I don't know. All the things you said about me are probably true to a certain extent, but you got to understand there's also a truth behind a posture. Sometimes there's a posture and there's no truth. Sometimes there's an act and a posture and truth behind it. In my case, that is true. I need to use all the techniques that I have learned and that I know intuitively in order to break through the chatter of the American media. And I broke through to an honest man like yourself who, with his own heart and his own mind and his own ears and eyes, can make up his own mind. He doesn't need anyone telling him what he actually thinks is true. So, Ruben, I don't know. I would send you a Savage Nation hat, but you're liable to be killed in the streets of Chicago for wearing it. So I'll send you a Freedom of Speech DVD, which you could play in the privacy of your own home. Stay on the air. Tell your wife to listen more carefully and not to tell your neighbors about it. Hartford, Connecticut. Ferris, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Savage, you're exactly right when you say you're a lightning rod, but you underestimate the rank that you have in the lightning rod pecking order. You are the top lightning rod because all the others mix theirs with entertainment and selling their paraphernalia and everything else. You're talking the truth. I want to tell you about what happened when I was in the dentist chair today. And I was telling the dental hygienist about you so that she could raise her two young boys who want to be Boy Scouts and have not yet been destroyed by the government public schools. I mentioned your name, and she said that a man came up to her in the supermarket with a flyer that the radio stations put out here in Hartford. And it was the Michael Savage flyer, and this man was handing out those flyers in her supermarket and said that's where she first saw you. She hadn't heard you yet, but she was going to listen to you tonight. You are the top lightning rod against these people, and you ought to know that so you can gird your loins against what is happening to you now and in the future.
Well, I'll gird my loins. I'll work on that tonight. I think I'm going to get ready to gird them right now.
Savage.
Latinos. It's basically anybody who doesn't fit into Mr. Savage's idea of what is normal, including Arabs, including homosexuals. And in San Francisco, we firmly believe in homosexual rights.
I rest my case. So they try to link up with the Islamo-fascists and the homosexual community. That's the new troika, which is the illegal alien, homosexual, Arab troika against America. And I rest my case. You've got to decide which side you're on. It's as simple as that. The battle lines have been drawn. You have to decide which side you're on. If you're on the side of Chavez and Ahmadinejad, if you hate Jews, if you hate the church and you hate America, well, then join the mob on the other side. If you're a certifiable anti-American, anti-military, anti-police, anti-church, anti-family, anti-Semite, then you have allies in San Francisco. You got a lot of them. They're all together, and they've elected these stooges on drugs to run the city. 1-800-449-8255. Now, I don't know. There were 25 people there and 75 press and police, I heard. I didn't go. And I could have had 25,000 people outside there if I wanted, but I didn't. I don't want any violence. And the violence would be provoked by the illegitimate against my people. And I don't want anybody getting hurt on my behalf. I'm going to fight them in court and in the court of public opinion. It's quite simple. Now, why would the city supervisors who attack me support Hugo Chavez? Let's go to Chicago with a man who knows what we're talking about. Ron, what actually do you know about Chavez that we don't know?
Yeah, Mrs. Savage. With Hugo Chavez, see, this is a dictator that's actively supporting that terrorist group. That is the thing that I know about Chavez.
Chavez, let's take it on the level of the average man in the street. He has just eliminated any opposition media, closed down an opposition television station. He has eliminated elections saying he wants to be president for life. And so-called progressives approve of him?
They approve of anybody that is against America or against...
All right, then by definition, it's time to put them in jail. How's that? How's that? Can I make myself clear? They ought to thank God I have no power in this country, because I would pass the War Powers Act. I would pass an act which says that anybody who actively supports Ahmadinejad or his allies is aiding or abetting terrorism, and I'd have them arrested. We're no longer at the point of free speech. We're on the eve of World War III. You can't support Hitler in a rally and tell me that you're an American. You're a Nazi. WOR in New York City. Eric, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I'd like to say, you know, that the people that posted your information on the web, what has me really concerned, I'm a retired cop. I did a lot of investigative work when I was working. I really, truly believe that these supervisors, that these liberal scum that are after you, could very well have posted this information and made it public information so that these people could come to your house and cause you harm. That's my first point. I don't know if you...
No, hold on. Let's pause right there. We believe, and I've discussed it with police, that the posting of my address 2 weeks ago on the World Wide Web is part of this orchestrated campaign of hate and terror that is being inflicted upon me by the supervisors with some dark hands behind them. We don't know who the dark hands are quite yet. I can pretty much tell you that it's probably, there are probably some prominent names attached to it.
No doubt in my mind. I mean, Newsom is after you. Sandoval is after you. There are many people after you, and it just makes sense that your enemies, these are your enemies, and these guys would be posting it. Furthermore, I want to let you know that I contacted the U.S. Attorney's Office today, also contacted the FBI on your behalf. As being in law, formerly in law enforcement, I was concerned for your welfare, as I know you were. They didn't want to discuss it with me, which really irked me more than you can imagine.
I'm of no interest to them. Instead, they would probably grant bodyguards and protection to the other side. I understand that. I know that I'm all alone. I hear that. I leave it in God's hands, Eric. I know I'm speaking the truth, and I'm speaking for America. I love this country. I'm not going to roll over and die just because the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, and his ally Chavez, and their stooges Sandoval and Daley and Newsom et al., want me off the air. I'm not leaving the air. It's in the hands of the people and the hands of God, not them.
No, it's not just in the hands of God, Michael. It's in our hands. The people that are backing you, the conservative people that are backing you in this country, like myself, my friends, guys I worked with, cops I worked with, people I know, firefighters. I mean, these guys are all, I'm turning them all on to you. And they understand that you're the only one that speaks the truth in this nation. I can't stand these other people on the radio, these other, quote, these pseudo-conservatives. They're full of it. And you know exactly who I'm talking about. I won't even mention their names.
No, I don't have to talk about the empty golf bag. He's becoming a bigger blowhard by the day. It's pathetic to listen to him. It's sad to listen to him, frankly. It's like listening to a whale who's out of steam. But he's not the issue. He's not a bad person. He's just a fraud who, if liberalism was, let's say, in power, and he could make a buck off liberalism, I'm sure he would have gone that way. But it doesn't matter. Entertainers abound. What I do with I think what you're saying to me is be careful. The bottom line is, Michael, you're worried about me, and be careful, right?
I really am, man. If there's anything at all that I can do for you personally, I'm a pistol expert. I was a tactical police officer. I was in the detective unit. I'm in New York, but, man, I'm telling you, if there's anything...
Well, you see, if you lived out here, Eric, I can guarantee you we would talk off the air, but you don't live out here. And I'm reaching the point where I'm going to have to employ a number of people in that capacity, because you're right. I know it's definitely at that critical mass. I understand things have changed, and my life can never go back to being the same because of Sandoval and Daley and the mayor of San Francisco. They are overtly threatening my physical survival because they're overtly threatening my financial survival, and they're making up stuff about me, which is why a good liberal like Dan Horowitz came on the show yesterday. Eric, did you hear yesterday what Marty Garbus, the attorney for IMUS, wrote in an email about me that Dan read on the show? Did you hear those six words?
Yes, I heard.
I was awed by it. Marty Garbus, and they're both very liberal gentlemen, by the way, but true liberals, not progressive socialist communists. And I want to make a very clear distinction between the two. These genuine liberals, and Marty Garbus defended Lenny Bruce, God knows when, and so many other famous people. He sent back a simple email. He's on vacation in Italy, and he just settled the Imus case. And he said the following. He said, I will return if Michael needs me. So that's good on a legal level, but I wish to God that I had somebody on your level, frankly, 24-7, Eric.
Michael, I swear to God, I would be there for you. I wouldn't want a thin dime. You're a true patriot. You're an American patriot. You're an American icon. I'm not brown-nosing you. I'm telling you straight up, I would be there for you 24-7.
Eric. Eric, I hear you, but you don't have to do that right now. Remember, I am an immigrant son. It's the most important thing to remember. I am an immigrant's son. I am in favor of immigration. I am not in favor of criminality. I am in favor of a nation of laws, not a nation of outlaws disguising as citizens. That's the whole differential here, Eric. We are all immigrants and children of immigrants, but 99% of us are children of legal immigrants, not illegal immigrants. They can't bust into this country, steal an education, and then say, I'm going to have a hunger strike unless you give me a green card. What you say to a brat like that is that if you want to starve, go ahead and starve yourself to death. That's what I would say to a child who's pulling a tantrum on me. And people understand that, but not the nasty opposition. They want a dictatorship, and they're trying to get me, run me out of town. They're not going to succeed. They can't do it. It won't happen.
Not going to succeed. We won't allow it to happen, Michael. I swear. We will do whatever is necessary. And that was a...
Well, let's say this, Eric. I hear in your heart a lot more than what you're able to say on the air right now. Just be known that if something horrendous should befall me, you know the names of those who pulled the strings, okay? Let's put it to you that way. Does that work? If something horrible should befall me and you don't hear from me, you'll know who the peasant Avantes were who pulled the switch.
I do have people that I can contact in certain...
Well, let's let it go with that. If the FBI doesn't know this, then I'd like to know what they do know. I really hope to God the FBI... You know, I read the other day that there's a linkage between the drug cartels and the terrorists. Did you see that came out the other day? The former director of the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, warned federal officials shortly after the 9/11 attacks that violent drug cartels... from Mexico, were teaming with Muslim gangs to fund terrorist organizations. Should we not assume that there's a linkage between their attempt to destroy me and their attempt to destroy America through terrorism? And if we, the people, can see the link, and a former DEA director can see it, surely Mr. Mueller of the FBI hasn't omitted that article from his armamentarium of reading. Do you think so, Eric?
I truly believe he has. I truly believe he has because we don't have a commander in chief. We have a joke of a so-called leader, a pseudo leader that doesn't know how to lead this country to victory. He doesn't know how to protect the legal citizens of this nation.
Listen to this, Eric. I'm going to read on. Last week, the Washington Times disclosed the confidential DEA report substantiating the link between Islamist sleeper cells in the U.S. and Mexican drug cartels. Furthermore, the 2005 document suggests that some Islamist terrorists are disguising themselves as Hispanics. Why should I assume that the mob that was out today calling for my head and the mob that will be in front of the radio station tomorrow does not include some of these disguised Islamist terrorists pretending to be Mexicans? Shall I not make that assumption, or would you make that assumption?
Absolutely make that assumption. And if you want me to go further, I would say I have a pretty good idea who is behind the Mexican mafia, not just the cartels, but I think you know the initials and the letters that are involved. If you want me to say, the most powerful Latino South American gang, and they're starting to take over state by state in the Southwest from friends of mine that I have out there I speak with on a regular basis. They're taking over state by state. They're annexing it to Mexico. That's their plan, and we're allowing it. We're allowing it. Our FBI is putting their head in the sand. Our CIA director is putting their hands in the sand. We're turning a blind eye to it, and we're dying. This country is dying from within. You're the only voice of reason we have, and we will not allow you to go down, Michael. It will not happen. Not on our watch, buddy. It won't happen. I guarantee you that.
Well, let's let it go with that, Eric. I don't know what to say other than thank you very much, my friend. And I know your sentiment is that of millions of American people. The problem is we are not organized as a force in this country. Trust me, I could organize 13 million people to go out and vote for me. I could say I'm leaving radio and I want to run for the presidency. I could get probably 20 million votes. Do you know that, Eric? Now, I couldn't win that election, but I can change the course of American history if I did that. The problem is that I would then lose my voice on the radio, and I'm not willing to do that. And so, therefore, I would like people to understand why I have to stay on the radio. The voice of freedom, the First Amendment, has a real meaning, Eric. It's to give a man like you, for example, a podium to express your heartfelt feelings. You're bottled up all day long. You see, like, you're in Manhattan, right, Eric? I don't know. Where are you in New York, just for an example?
Scarsdale.
All right, so you drive around. You're a former homicide detective or what?
No, property theft unit detective.
Whatever, but detective. So a detective uses intuition and intelligence and analysis and deductive logic and science to get to the conclusions that he must draw in order to solve a crime. So there's no such thing as a retired detective any more than there's such a thing as a retired talk show host. I could go off the air tomorrow and I would still be talking in my own head about what I want to say. You're still a detective. You drive around and you see people all around you that are doing odd things. You see gangs forming and you see no police action because they've been stymied by the federal government. You see people stealing ballots and nothing is done to arrest them. You see illegitimate city supervisors trying to kill free speech and there's no outcry except amongst the few real liberals in the country. And you're pissed off. I understand what you're saying.
Absolutely. And, there are remedies, but they're just not coming about quickly enough. We have to expedite. We have to have a tremendous voice,
Well, what do you say to a thing like this? George Bush claims that he's cracking down on the border, and he just took the National Guard off the border. What would you conclude from that little dance?
That it's a joke. It's a joke, Michael. He's allowing them in. He's allowing them to walk into our country.
Right. Okay. So he wants the takeover of America by Mexico and Central America. He wants the borders gone. Tell me why you think Karl Rove got fired.
I'm not sure about Rove. Maybe, Rove was a puppet more than anything. Yes. Did he help him get elected? Absolutely. But he was more of a puppet. They're all puppets to Bush, and Bush is the one that's calling all these illegals that are pouring over our borders good folks. I mean, is he kidding? These good folks will chop off our heads one day.
Eric, did you hear what he said about the 19 hijackers from 9/11 last week, the soundbite I played? Did you hear that one last week?
Did I hear it? I am livid about it. I've already written into several newspapers
he said,
about it.
Hold on, Eric, hold on. I got to go to a break. But wait, guys, can you pull up that soundbite? This was the most astonishing soundbite of George Bush's entire career that I couldn't believe. You have it? Okay, everybody listen. This is your president speaking about the 19 hijackers who flew planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Listen.
Recognize there's a debate here in America as to whether or not failure in Iraq would cause there to be more danger here in America. I strongly believe that's the case. It matters if the United States does not believe in the universality of freedom. It matters to the security of people here at home if we don't work to change the conditions. It caused 19 kids to be lured onto airplanes to come and murder our citizens.
I've never heard anything like this. This borders not on the absurd, but on the insane. 19 kids to be lured to come on planes? Hardcore terrorists are kids? What is he thinking, Eric?
What were the stewardesses and the co-captains and captains have milk and cookies, and they were luring these poor, innocent, murdering thug kids. These aren't kids. These are brutal. These are brutal terrorists that will cut these liberals' heads off as they will mine. But I'll tell you what, they're not getting your.
Oh wait,
head.
But listen to what I do. But I have to again reiterate, and this goes back to what you called about link between Mexican drug cartels and Islamic terrorist groups, Islamists hiding as Mexicans in America. Washington Times came from the DEA. These are confidential reports. We are in very grave danger of losing the nation. I'll be right back. Okay, well, you know what's at stake, and there are other news stories out there. And is silence golden? I mean, is all silence golden, or only the silence of the conservative? Is that the only golden silence there is? The freaks, the communists, the terrorists, and the others are entitled to shoot their mouths off, and we're not? Where is that written in the U.S. Constitution that they're allowed to scream and yell, and we are not allowed to speak? Can you find it anywhere in the U.S. Constitution? I haven't been able to find it. Boise, Idaho. Chris, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I think that the reason why you're being is attacked is because of Ms. Sheehan and Ms. Pelosi. That race for the Congress and the control of Congress is affecting you directly. You resonate, like you had a couple of callers ago, with those moderate Democrats, and Pelosi knows it. Only in San Francisco can Sheehan actually attract more liberals than Pelosi would. So I think between her...
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I understand. I don't know what Sheehan... You think I would back one of the two of them?
Well, no, absolutely not. What I'm saying is that you are a threat to Pelosi's voting constituents because you are resonating with some of those moderate Democrats.
Oh, right. No, absolutely. The FDR-level Democrat is starting to understand that Pelosi is not a Democrat in the true sense. She's a party apparatchik is what she is, and she's in it for the pork barrel spending that she claimed the Republicans were abusing. They've come to understand that she's not really a liberal. She is just simply a politician. Now, whether they would I'm not running against Pelosi, though, so I don't even understand where your analogy holds true.
Because you actually can take votes from Pelosi and give them to Sheehan, because that's what I'm saying. Sheehan is so much more liberal.
But I'm not going to support a quack like her. You know, Sheehan is a shame. I gave her a name, Shameham. She's a disgrace. She shamed her son's name. You know, other mothers who lost sons took it with dignity and stood up for the troops, not stuck them in the back with a knife.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now, of course, this has nothing to do with homosexuals, but God forbid there should be any protest where in San Francisco the homosexuals don't inject themselves into the issue. I have no idea why Tom Amiano would get in bed with, so to speak. Now, I don't mean figuratively. I mean figuratively. Why Tom Amiano would get in bed with illegal aliens. Although, on the other hand, now that I think about it, the question has has an answer built into it. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We're sitting here and enjoying the anti-American chants. You don't need to know any more than this. Here's all you need to know. All you need to know is the very same vermin, anti-American, anti-family, anti-church, anti-military, anti-police, scum of the earth that are protesting me and want my head on a platter, support Hugo Chavez and his dictatorship in Venezuela. If we lived in saner times, they would be arrested for aiding and abetting the enemy of the American people. But we don't have a government to turn to. We don't know who to redress our grievances to. We try to redress our grievances to the federal government. Well, sure, some heard us. Jeff Sessions heard us. Jim DeMint heard us. And a few other stalwarts, Rohrbacker heard us on the congressional side. But they're very few and far between. standing between us and utter chaos and the utter takeover of the United States of America. What do I mean by the takeover of the United States of America? Am I being a little too flamboyant with my use of rhetoric? Well, I'll let you decide. Why would city officials in San Francisco pass a proclamation in 2002 lauding the administration of Hugo Chavez in Venezuela for democracy while calling me every name under the sun? Now, let us analyze Chavez's democracy that Mayor Newsom, Sandoval, Pesky Peskin, and Daley lauded in 2002. And by the way, they haven't withdrawn it. 2002 Legislative Chamber, San Francisco, Board of Supervisors, commending President Hugo Chavez. Resolution commending the administration of President Hugo Chavez for its commitment to democracy. Amiano, Daley, Gonzalez, Lino, McGoldrick, Newsom, Peskin, Sandoval, and Yee. These are the same people who are voting in a few moments to condemn me, Michael Savage, for speaking what most of the American people believe needs to happen, which is the deportation of the illegal aliens immediately, post-haste, not a minute to waste before it's too late. Why would they take the side of a dictatorship? Why would they take the side of a man like Hugo Chavez, who has closed down all opposition television and newspapers, who has declared no more elections, he wants to be president for life, who is linked up with Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time? How can the American left support Hugo Chavez? The answer is they can't unless they want America overthrown. They want an American revolution. And they think that they're going to wind up on top of the heap should there be an American revolution. And you, the American patriot, you, the Eddie of the street, you whose fathers and grandfathers fought in the wars to give us freedom, will have a ring put in your nose and you'll wind up cleaning their toilet bowls when they take over your houses. That's their dream. The dream is for guys like Tom Amiano to take over your property. The dream is for Daley to take over your property. The dream is for these people to take what is not theirs from you. That is the socialist, communist, progressive dream. Make no mistake about it. Now, add to this, guys like Sean Penn, a millionaire probably 100 times over, goes and kisses the ring of Hugo Chavez. Again, Hugo Chavez, Hugo Chavez, Hugo Chavez. Here's Sean Penn coming back from Chavez in clip four. Play it.
I thank you for a great trip in Venezuela and in particular President Chavez.
Now, here's a man, Sean Penn, whose father was a known far-left radical. Sean Penn goes to kiss the ring of Chavez, who was just declared a dictatorship in Venezuela. Sean Penn lives in a mansion. He has a lovely family that needs to be protected from the father, I think, in my estimation, in my opinion. The brainwashing that he must have inflicted upon those poor children, I can only imagine. How can a man living in a mansion in the United States of America salute a man who would take his mansion and turn his children into sugarcane workers? How can he do that? Now, there's two answers to that. Either he's a useful idiot, or liberalism is a mental disorder, or you fill in the blank. But this is what we're facing here. These are fools. These are useful idiots. So I continue to be the lightning rod and attract the lightning bolts. And at this juncture, I'm going to let you talk. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Go on to michaelsavage.com. We've got all these sound bites and more, including Cheney predicted a Baghdad quagmire in 1994. Top attorney backs Savage against SF official. Anti-Ku Klux Klan Act protects Savage, says top civil rights attorney. Ha, they are now the Ku Klux Klan. But go tell them. Go tell Gavin Newsom he is wearing a white hood. Go tell a man like Gavin Newsom that he's actually acting like the Klan of the 1940s. He would say you're crazy. That's because his optic chiasma is upside down. That's because his sorter is reversed. That's because the man doesn't even know where he stands in the long line of history and freedom. That's because he is simply a Machiavellian power-hungry mayor who doesn't even understand he's acting out the machinations of dictatorship right here in San Francisco by attacking everything that is sacred to the American way. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So where do you want me to go today? Other stories, my story. Let's see other stories. Chechen rebels suspected in Russia train bomb. Shall I yawn on that one? Charity finds that U.S. food aid for Africa hurts instead of helps. I'm shocked to see it's being stolen by warlords in Africa. San Francisco supervisor tries to stop the Blue Angels. The same supervisor who is bashing Savage doesn't want the Blue Angels to fly over the city. All the cranks and the perverts and the miscreants hate the Blue Angels. Do you know why? Why do you think the perverts and the cranks hate the Blue Angels? Answer, because they're jealous. They can't be as good. They don't have the daring, the courage, the skill, the brains, and the commitment to do anything as well. And so they're jealous, and so they hate the Blue Angels. Why do they hate Michael Savage? Well, one is for political reasons, because they would like to see a socialist dictatorship in America where the people who have earned things lose them to those who have done nothing, including the illegal aliens. But also, don't forget, there's jealousy. Many of these people cannot do anything else except be a politician who makes $22,000 a year. They're losers, in other words. They're losers in American society. The supervisors are fundamentally homeless people with a badge. And the mayor is fundamentally an enigma to those who know him. He is a man who could have made a reasonable living as a businessman. He's reasonably good looking. He speaks English fairly well. He's over 6 foot tall and he's white. There's no reason he couldn't be a normal man, but why he would want to be a politician is anybody's guess. I don't know the psychology of a politician because I am not one. I can't analyze that particular power madness myself. Pray to Allah, Dutch bishop suggests. A Dutch Catholic bishop has suggested that Christians should refer to God as Allah to promote better relations with Muslims. Okay, read that on the set. We're losing the nation. We're losing the country. We're losing the war. We're losing the war of ideas. We're losing the West. Now, many left-wingers think that's good if you lose the West. They think it's going to be glorious if the West falls. They have no idea what Ahmadinejad has in mind for them. They haven't any idea. How is it that they could hate Michael Savage more than they hate Chavez or Ahmadinejad? I'll let you try to figure that one out. KNEW, San Francisco. Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation.
Sir, it's an honor. It's a very big honor finally to get through to you. I want to say thank you for 13 years. And you know what? Don't change one bit, boss. Don't change one bit.
I can't say that I'm running out of steam, but on the other hand, I can't say that I'm enjoying it as much as I did in the beginning. I can't say that. I would be dishonest. You know, how shall I put this without scaring or disappointing my audience? There's a time for everything, Jeff. There is a time to laugh. There is a time to cry. There is a time to rejoice. There is a time for sadness. This is a different time. I'm in a transition right now, Jeff. That's all I can tell you.
Don't back down, okay? Be like the price.
No, I won't back down. No, it's somebody up there is going to decide when I back down, not down here.
Remember what Rocky, remember when he was getting tired, who was always yelling at him? Mick, right? Keep going, keep going.
We'll go to break.
A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to be. To everything.
And I'm still waiting for Al Sharpton and Reverend Jackson, as you well know, great defenders of African Americans, to say one word about the execution style murders of three middle class black college students by an illegal alien out on parole in Newark, New Jersey. And these are the same despicable reverends who were so vociferous in their hatred of Don Imus, purely out of jealousy, by the way, but have nothing to say about execution, the execution of middle-class black college students. What does that tell you about the so-called establishment for every segment of the society and every race? I think you pretty much can put two and two together, that it's all a sham. We have a real treat for you right now, which is we have a live microphone inside the chambers of the San Francisco City Supervisors right now, and they're getting ready to vote on this resolution condemning me. These are the people who have lauded Hugo Chavez, the dictator, fascist. But listen to this. What you're going to hear are people speaking in the chambers during public opinion. Go ahead, please.
In your constituency, which is the youth of the city and county of San Francisco. My name is Harris Tabak. I live in the Lower Haight, and I'm a criminal defense lawyer in this city, and I've been doing that for about 24 years. And I can assure
good
you
boy.
Of one thing, and that is yes. that the overwhelming what? Majority of people uh-huh. who find themselves uh-huh. prosecuted in the criminal justice system
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
have no college education.
Oh.
Most have not even finished high school.
I see. So what, we should grant them degrees from Berkeley for being a criminal? Hey, wait a minute. That's a novel idea. Take every felon and give them a PhD from Berkeley.
To both commit crimes and to find themselves in the criminal justice system.
Liberalism is a mental disorder, and these bleeding heart liberals belong in a straitjacket.
That our young people are faced with. To
have young people? Shut this vermin off. Get him off my show. This is the kind of thing that passes for intelligence in San Francisco. Bleeding heart liberals bleeding all over each other and bleeding all over the streets. You hear what what Sherlock came up with? The highest percentage of people in our criminal justice system have no college degrees. So the conclusion is what? Let me see if I can figure that one out. They're too stupid, drug addicted, or selfish, or deranged, and have no discipline, and consequently they're criminals, and therefore what? You should arrest the people with college degrees? Just what is this defense lawyer getting at? I live in an insane asylum. I live in a total insane asylum. It's a hate crime to hate crime, writes a blogger. It's a hate crime to hate crime, says AaronBSam.blogspot.com. It said that it's not a hate crime to hate crime. I actually hate crime, and he wants to know how it could be a hate crime to hate crime. He quotes me, he says, the strikers owe the U.S. taxpayer reimbursement for their college degrees and any other public benefits they may have caged over the years here illegally. Then they should be deported. So for that reason, I'm being condemned by these illegitimi? Well, I'm actually proud to be condemned by the people who laud Hugo Chavez. At least you know where you are, you see. Play the feed now again. Go back to the hall.
Whatever changes on the property to make it better, but it needed it landmarked first.
All right, a bleeding heart liberal defense attorney who can't do anything else, so he culls the bottom of the barrel for public funds in order to defend them. That's who they are. Loser attorneys who can't get jobs in major firms usually wind up taking these pro bono kind of cases, or they go to work for a public defender's office in order to get a little bit of money. They got to make 20, 25 grand a year somehow. So they take these cases, then they couch it in liberalism, that they're for the downtrodden. They're down with the people. Michael in Sacramento, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I just was thinking about Lenny Bruce and what they did to him back in the 60s, and I'm hoping they don't do the same thing to you and distract you from what your main goal is.
Well, Lenny Bruce was a very good social commentator. I loved him. There are a number of differences between he and I. One, he had no education, therefore he had no historical knowledge. That's not a deficit necessarily, but it was in his case. Or it would be in my case, let's put it to you that way. Number two, he had phenomenal gifts, oratorical gifts and comedic gifts and gifts of public performance. But he wasn't as political on a broader scale as I am. He was obsessed with his own freedom, not with the freedom of America. Of course, the times were different, Michael. I don't know where a guy like that would be today. Thirdly, he used drugs, and I don't. And fourthly, he was simply a stand-up comedian, and I'm not. That isn't to say that he wasn't a fabulous performer, which he was. But what we do have in common is a commonality in the friend called Marty Garbus. Martin Garbus defended Lenny Bruce in his landmark case, and as you probably know, Martin Garbus has offered to fly back from Italy to defend me should I need him, but I don't need him right now. You know that as well, probably. All right, thank you. We should get some old Lenny Bruce for another day, during the doldrums of August. 1-800-449-8255. Is it a hate crime to hate crime? Is it a hate crime to hate crime? That's a great blog. It really is. Ahmadinejad, Islam must rule the world. And by the way, the homosexual woman said that I hate her and I hate everyone who's different. She couldn't be any more wrong if she tried. I love people who are different. I just don't like traitors and spineless scum. Right now, I'm going to bring up Daniel Horowitz, all-around good man. Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be here.
Daniel, I'm very emotional because we've gotten to know each other over the last year, and you know my background, son of an immigrant. You know that I don't particularly like people to push me around or tell me what to do or what not to do. You also know that I hate injustice of any kind, and I hate bullies. And yet, Daniel, these left-wingers have so distorted the reality that people are living through that they've made themselves look or appear through camouflage and trickery, smoke and mirrors, if you want, as though they're really representing the oppressed minority. But you've laid it out very carefully. I open the floor to you, Daniel. Please speak. I have nothing else to say.
I know. I'm worked up about this too, Michael. When I listen to you on the radio, when I talk to you personally, what I hear time and time again is a big-hearted, compassionate man who is willing to stand up for anybody who is oppressed. Right now, the people who are oppressed are those who want legal immigration and feel that illegal immigration is bad for America and bad for the people who come here illegally. And these people, like Sandoval, are turning it against you, and he is slandering you because he says Michael Savage is against immigrants. No. Michael Savage is for immigrants and wants these people here legally so they have full protections of the Constitution, of the police. They're not exploited. Michael Savage is for immigrants, and Sandoval is against immigrants. He wants them like slaves so that he can stand up for them, make-believe stand up, and have power over them. If they were here legally, they would throw him in the garbage. That's how I feel, Michael.
Daniel, I'm not going to give you a political litmus test, and you and I have really never talked politics, and I don't intend to start now, but I would assume that you're more liberal than I am. Is that fair to say?
I'm more liberal, and your great defender, Martin Garbus, who is the First Amendment darling of the left, is also your great defender.
And Martin Garbus, who just defended Don Imus, who I met at your recent function. Is a man who defended Lenny Bruce, who knows what the First Amendment means. He's your cousin, right?
Yes, and let me read you the email that I just got from him, because he's on vacation in Italy, and I wrote to him about what's going on. He wrote six words back. Will return if Michael needs me.
Oh, my God! I don't believe this. You know, I know what good people are, and I know what fraudulent people are. What, you guys from Brooklyn are much better than the guys I knew from the Bronx and Manhattan. You're really good people. So, you see, this is what's all about, Daniel. It's really not about liberal or conservative. It's really about good people, period. So you're coming to my aid in my time of need when politically we are probably poles apart on so many issues, but we probably agree on more than we disagree in some ways. One thing we both agree on is we don't like a government stepping on a person. That's true, isn't it?
Yes, and your type of speech, if I disagree with you and it makes my blood boil, that's healthy, because that means that I'm going to speak out against you in very strong language, and that's what democracy is about. So,
all right, so wait, let me take devil's advocate. You're going to speak out against me strongly. Can't Sandoval claim that's all he's doing?
But that's not all he's doing. He's lying about what you said. He's taking your language, which is legitimate, honest speech, and claiming that it's hate language, which it is not. And then he's organizing a mob using his political position to help organize that mob to take your job away. You know, Michael, if I wore an Oakland A's hat or how about a New York Yankees hat in San Francisco and all of a sudden Sandoval said, oh, he's against the San Francisco Giants, I want to take his job away, that would be so stupid, people would laugh Sandoval right out of town. But because he's couching it in political terms, somehow people go, well, can he do that? No, he cannot use the power of the government, of his government position, to try to take your job away, to silence you, because he doesn't agree with you. He can speak out, but he can't try to get a mob to come at you.
All right, you then sent me something more recently today, which we'll get into eventually. You ask, it says, Daniel Horowitz's opinion on SF supervisor case. And again, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I hope you indulge me in this for the next period of time in my broadcast, because it seems to me that all the 14 and a half years in broadcasting has come down to this. It has coalesced down to me becoming the biggest target in the United States of America of the illegitimate, illegal alien criminals and their phony liberal city and state and federal officials behind them. What's a killer to me here, Daniel, is that men who pose like liberals, like the mayor of the city, who frankly could stop this by saying, I detest what Michael Savage may have said, but he has a right to free speech. And yet Mayor Newsom has not said one word. Phony liberals like Boxer and Feinstein are silent. Nobody on the federal level has said we're going to bring deportation buses to stop these mobs from threatening an American citizen. Am I not right in saying I deserve federal protection?
You do, Michael, and you also deserve protection from the ACLU. They stand up for Nazis. They stand up for people who are not even Americans. Why don't they stand up for good old-fashioned American free speech?
Well, I'll let you answer that question. Daniel, would you be willing, or is it of any relevance for you to state on the show at this time some of your most prominent cases so they understand who you really are?
Michael, I've represented the former Prime Minister of Ukraine in a huge case which pitted the freedom forces of Ukraine against the old Communist Guard. I did that in the U.S. District Court. I have a major privacy case on behalf of somebody, a very prominent figure, I can't say, where she's fighting for the right of marital privacy, not to have your marriage secrets put out in the press as part of some sort of legal campaign. I've done probably 150 jury trials, Michael, federal courts throughout the United States. So that's just a brief overview.
Okay, well, 100, I know she added that as a footnote, 115 federal cases. Okay, we have a caller who says that he's on the side of the supervisor, Daniel. I'm going to put him up and let you answer him. Will that work for you?
He has free speech rights. I'm anxious.
He has free speech on the Savage Nation. Chicago, Sebastian, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dan, thank you for being Mike's mouthpiece today.
Oh, thank you.
This is the point. I agree with everything that's happening right now, because this is a reflection, Michael. This is the same kind of vitriol and bile that you put out there on the airways every day. You've called...
All right, let's pause right here. Daniel, how does it differ what I say as strongly as I speak against illegal immigrants? How does it differ in the case of a city official trying to have my job and slandering me? Explain it to this man.
Well, there are two differences. First of all, you're not using a position as an official to illegally target somebody and take their job because you don't like what they said. The government, the state, cannot use its power to silence people. That's un-American. Number two, this guy has gone further, not just with Michael Savage, but with other people he disagrees with. He has advocated mobs coming to their houses, coming to children's religious ceremonies to disrupt and potentially threaten and hurt. You know, you can't punch somebody in the mouth because you don't like what they say. Michael Savage is strong in his words, but he does not threaten people. Sandoval threatens to hurt people, and he uses the power of the state to do it. That's the difference.
Now, you're listening to an attorney who's argued 150 cases in federal court, Daniel Horowitz. This is not an opinion that is just unthought. And so if you want to talk about this a little further, I'd like to now read what Daniel sent me a little earlier. Daniel, I'm going to read what you sent me on your opinion. You say, has Supervisor Sandoval committed a state crime? Your answer is probably not, but he's getting close. Okay, the next one is, you say, has Sandoval committed a federal crime? Maybe already, and if not, he's getting close. The city, to the extent that he used his official capacity, may have already committed a federal crime, meaning the city of San Francisco could have stopped this man already. You then say Sandoval has 100% possibly committed a federal crime, especially given his history of prior threats to businessmen in Tiburon and Jewish children. Plus, he's an attorney, so he knows that his conduct is terrorism. He is getting close to a crime, but probably not quite there, but close. You then read California Penal Code Section 422, and then you read the federal, and I'm going to read this. The FBI is the lead federal agency for investigating color of law abuses, which include acts carried out by government officials operating both within and beyond the limits of their lawful authority. Off-duty conduct may be covered if the perpetrator asserted his or her official status in some way, sources the FBI itself. His actions are a civil rights violation. You then go into the criminal acts, and then you say, if you get killed or hurt. And I have to read this. Now, remember who he's fomenting. He is fomenting mobs of illegal aliens, some of whom are no doubt criminals, some of whom may be dangerous gang members. I want the people to understand the danger he is putting me in. How many of those so-called students are criminals? Only the FBI and the Justice Department could answer that, and they're not involved. How many of them are members of dangerous, criminal, illegal alien gangs hiding as students? Only the Justice Department and the federal FBI, after an arrest, could tell us that. So Daniel wrote this. If you get killed or hurt, if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title of imprisonment for any term of years for life or both, or may be sentenced to death. You say, but his speech is not protected because the statute goes on to say, that meaning the supervisor's speech, you say, is not protected. Quote, as used in this section, the term participating lawfully in speech or peaceful assembly shall not mean the aiding, abetting, or inciting of other persons to riot or to commit any act of physical violence upon any individual or against any real or personal property in furtherance of a riot. Won't he say he's just leading them in front of the radio station and in a peaceful protest, Daniel?
Well, he's using the power of the government, his position as supervisor, to try to stir up mob violence, and if it's not violence, certainly a mob protest to take your job away in punishment for your First Amendment exercise of the exercise of your right. So,
Savage.
That was a rebroadcast of the broadcast yesterday with Daniel Horowitz, who was on the in front of City Hall today, speaking on my behalf. I didn't go there, and I don't intend to go to the radio station steps tomorrow to debate these mobs of illegals. I would ask that the federal government protect me from these hordes by bringing in a strike force, an anti-terrorism force, deportation buses, and enough plastic handcuffs to arrest over 400 people, most of whom are by definition here illegally. If the federal government will not protect us, then how can we have faith in a government that claims to be protecting us? That's the question tens of millions of American people have answered for themselves already. It's not easy for me to say. I don't need any more enemies than I already have. I would hope that my own government would be interested enough to go out to the station tomorrow, logically assuming that most of them are here illegally. After all, this was illegal aliens protesting today, stirred up and fomented in a mob action by a supervisor who supports Hugo Chavez, an enemy of America. You don't have to be a Sherlock to put two and two together. They're enemies of the state, they're enemies of the people, and they're enemies of me. But they're here illegally. They've committed a crime. Let's put everything else aside. They're here illegally. They're criminals. They're in one place. They're announcing where they're going to be. Do you think the FBI and the Justice Department and the Immigration and Customs should arrest them tomorrow, yes or no? Should they bring deportation buses? Email the Justice Department. Email the FBI. Say that you want them to arrest the illegal aliens outside of the radio, KNEW radio, tomorrow. That you demand that they do what their job is supposed to be, which is to protect us from criminals. I mean, why talk about we're cracking down when you know where there's going to be at least 400 of them meeting in a mob action, when you could bring in buses and lock them up? Then you could find out if any of them are really Ahmed instead of Carlos. Because according to the former director of the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, violent drug cartels are using Islamists, or Islamists are using them, to create sleeper cells in America. How many of them are there in this protest against me? I knew the day would come that they'd go after the media. It used to be a sacred thing that you couldn't go after the media in this country. Well, they're signaling their punch. I know what they're doing. They're signaling their punch. They're probing. This is a dry run. And I'm getting to a point that I've wanted to get to for 2 days now. We heard about the dry run of the flying imams, where they tested the system to see how much they could get away with on a plane, so the next time they know how to get the instruments of terror on the airplane after they've pacified everyone with attempted lawsuits. This is a dry run against free speech in America by the Islamists and the illegal aliens, who are now becoming one and the same. It's the same organizational structure. This is a dry run, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about it. I am the target of this dry run. They want to see how far they can get in silencing a voice of freedom in the United States of America. They want to see which, if any, governmental agencies will stop them. Guess what they learned so far? That not only will no governmental agency stop them in their attempts to kill free speech. They will aid them in their attempts to kill free speech. We have lost our freedoms already. I will be right back.
Savage.
Everything turn is a time to laugh and a time to weep. You decide whether it's a time to laugh or a time to weep for Lady Liberty. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Lady Liberty has been hogtied. She is being raped by the illegal aliens. She is being raped by the landlords who are using the illegal aliens. Lady Liberty is there in bindings, screaming for us to release her. Those of us who know this and are trying to release Lady Liberty are being defamed by the illegal alien mobs who are raping her. That is my opinion. If you don't like it, you are on the wrong side of history, Buster. And you haven't seen the American person yet. You are yet to see America. You've heard me, but you haven't seen the face of America yet. And I warn you, I'm going to tell you again, you keep doing this. You keep trying to destroy our freedoms and our language and our borders. One day there's going to be a flashpoint in this country, and God only knows what will happen after that deluge. But I don't want to be around to see I don't want to be around to have to clean that up. You've gotten away with murder. You stole your education. You steal welfare. You steal medical care. And now you have the nerve to try to steal freedom of speech. You're not going to get away with it. No matter how, I can guarantee you, you're not going to pull this one off. Norfolk, Virginia. Ingrid, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, sir. 2 points. Number one, Ecclesiastes 3:7-8, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Dr. Savage, you are at the time to speak. You are the conscience of this nation. And, of course, because this is the most troubled time in our nation, our nation has been almost in, if you go back in history, and you love history, sir, and we are almost in Hellenistic time. Pursue happiness. Never, sir, in the Torah was there anything to pursue a happiness. Actually, if you go into the book of Deuteronomy, it says, Tzedek, pursue righteousness. And somewhere, the age of permissiveness that started in the 1960s is following us, and we have a Congress, just like you say, sir, full of potheads, that all they're doing is pursuing and bringing this nation down.
How could Congress take the side of non-citizen criminal aliens against the American people? How could the President of the United States take the side of illegal alien criminals against the voter of the American people? The American people. How is it possible that we wound up with complete frauds running everything?
Sir, because the only thing they have in their mind is their convenience. They do not have a foresight or insight even into their grandchildren of what's happening in this nation.
That's right. Now, wait, this is an important one. Don't these leaders have children and grandchildren? Don't they see the future? Do they want to turn this country into a third world cesspool without freedom for their own grandchildren? Who do they think? Let me start with this. God bless Nancy Pelosi and her family. She's a grandmother. Doesn't she see the future she's trying to bring upon America and what it will do to her own descendants?
They do not see, sir. But also, let me also just sidetrack.
Hold on, Ingrid. You are a great speaker. I'm not going to cut you off. I'm going to open the next hour with Ingrid. In fact, I was so tired I was going to take the next hour off, but you're so inspiring. I'm going to stay here for Ingrid and the callers on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to the sound of criminals, perverts, and miscreants of all stripes and varieties who are anti-white, anti-American, anti-Jewish, anti-flag, anti-hetero, anti-church, and anti-gasoline. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I mean, it's laughable at a certain level. On another level, it's not laughable. It's worrisome because they intend to overthrow the European-American dominance of America. They want a brown supremacist takeover of America, and they're clear about it. In fact, you say, am I making this up? Is this another one of Michael's attempts to insult a whole race? I'll let you decide. I'm about to post on michaelsavage.com a picture I just got from the so-called hate rally that is going, it came to me from a listener who sent it to my station, was sending it now to my webmaster, a woman, an unidentified woman in a New York Yankees baseball hat with an ice rack and a peacoat, is seen holding a cartoon, and it says, white supremacy must end. It shows George Bush naked on a rocking horse with the American flag, and on his tail is the Israeli flag. So it is the same group of anti-American, anti-Jewish, Chavez, Ahmadinejad, axis of evil people who are trying to get Michael Savage. Let's go back to Ingrid in Norfolk, Virginia. Ingrid, we're going to get that picture up. Please continue your discussion.
Yes, sir. Just following what you were saying, let me go back on something that I have not heard before in any of really of the conservative radios. And let's just backtrack a touch on the etiology of the illegal aliens. The real cause and the root of the problem of all this invasion of illegal alien is the corruption, the lack of social responsibility within the Latin nations to their own people, sir. Anytime you cross the border...
So, wait, so the reason they're fleeing these hellholes is because they have no democracy and no rights. And yet they have the audacity to come here and try to steal my right to free speech. And they come here and try to steal our treasury and tell us we owe them an education and medication and everything else under the sun. So in other words, they're bringing their hellhole to our nation by their value system.
Actually, not that they're bringing, they're being exported by their own government. Mexico is pushing the illegal aliens on us. All the countries in Central America are pushing their illegal aliens. I'm not saying all.
Are you saying most of them are troublemakers in their own country and their leadership wants them out?
What they're doing, sir, instead of facing their corruption, instead of giving and educating their people, so that they can come up in society. See, the prejudices in Latin America is not black against white. It is more important their last name, sir, than it is. It's a social thing. Are you rich or...
Hold on. Let me see if I follow you. You're saying the prejudice in Latin America is whoever is more European is higher up and whoever is more of Indian blood is lower down?
Yes, sir. If you go to the very beginning where the Spaniards went into Latin America, it has been a social situation. It has been the European against the Indian. It has been the...
Oh, wait, here's the interesting part. You're by what I read, you're a legal immigrant from Nicaragua. You've been here 28 years. You're a nurse by profession. What's intriguing to me is that the people from these, like Mexico and Central America, South America, who claim to be anti-European, are actually speaking the language of conquest by speaking Spanish. That's my analysis. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir. That is correct.
I mean, what is their indigenous language? Wouldn't it be a Native American language, an Indian language?
Depending on what country, you know, the Aztecs, the Mayas, the Pipils, the Nicaraos, they all had little dialects no more different than in the United States.
So that's the language they should be speaking if they weren't speaking the language of conquest. So they're speaking a language of European conquistadores, and here they're screaming against the European. It's astounding to me how idiotic they really are.
Let's go back. When the Spaniards came into Latin America, their aim was different in a way that when the Pilgrims came to the United States. The Pilgrims came to the United States to make this their home, sir. The Spaniards went to Latin America to get whatever they get out of there, not to make it really their home.
Right. They went there to steal the gold, primarily the gold.
And I tell you, right there, it makes a huge difference. The actual native of Latin America, the Indian of Latin America, was also very mistreated to this point, to now, sir. There's still, you go there, and there still is a, what they call, peones. They are still...
Hold on. So, are you telling me that most of the illegals are the peons of those societies, and they're being encouraged to dump on our country? They're dumped on our shore, and now we have to put up with their abuses?
Sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
So we're not getting the cream of their society. We're not even getting the coffee of their society. We're getting the dregs of their society.
The society you're going to find in the high-rise condominiums of Miami, of New York, of Washington, D.C., of Los Angeles, of wherever. The cream, because they have properties everywhere. That is...
Well, that's obvious. But what happens to this country if we let the criminal illegal alien dictate the terms of our nation? Don't we devolve into a third world nation, Ingrid? Isn't that how you see it the way I do?
Absolutely, sir. And let me also point one... My biggest point that I want to make... It's the fact that by the United States, with these people in Congress that, I don't know if, like you say, they must be on drugs, are opening the doors to the illegal aliens coming in, we are enabling that sickness that goes on in those countries, sir. In other words, the government and the people of power in each and every country in Latin America has the responsibility to educate and take care of their own people. If you are educated, if you have been educated in the United States.
No, I understand. And they're dumping, in other words, their problem children upon us and telling us to pick up the tab. Last point, which I know is so, Nicaragua has armed troops on their border, don't they?
Yes. Nicaragua, sir, just got back into the Sandinistas situation.
No, but don't they protect their borders with armed troops to prevent Guatemalans and others from sneaking into Nicaragua?
I was absolutely, sir. If they
right, but yet they have the nerve to come here in America and tell us that we're fascists for wanting to protect our borders and our language. I don't buy it. I know that they're full of crap, and I also know that they're only lining up here with the American left wing and the Islamo-fascist and the perverts and the sickos and the other miscreants in this country. We cannot let the illegal immigrant, and the criminal class of America unify to destroy free speech. Stay in the line, Ingrid. I'm sending you a free copy of my Great Freedom of Speech Award DVD, which is up on michaelsavage.com. Los Angeles, KLAA. Greg, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's come to my attention that you're basically being economically impeded by what the San Francisco commie rat bastards have done. Frankly, you got sued already, man.
Well, you see, you're saying by trying to tar brush me with a lie, they're impeding my economic advantage. Isn't that what you're saying?
Correct. They're already costing you money.
Well, we'll find that out soon enough. And if that is the case, we're going to sue Sandoval Daily and the city of San Francisco. As you well know, I'm very well represented by good legal talent, you know. But thank you very much. Thus far, I haven't been, bothered by anything. The biggest story of the day, other than this, is the astonishing thing that we found earlier of Dick Cheney saying that we shouldn't invade Iraq or take Baghdad because it would wind up with chaos. We'd wind up with chaos. He said that in 1994 when Bill Clinton was president. I can't believe that it came up. It's up on michaelsavage.com. You got to look at that one. Here's another one. Noor Salab, one of our Islamic friends in America, rents a house to two University of South Florida students, Yusuf Megahed and Ahmed Amuhammad, who were found carrying pipe bombs in South Carolina last week. And Mr. Megahed and Muhammad claim that they were firecrackers. Now, they were near a naval base. And, of course, the troublesome front group, CIIR, said that it was fireworks. The FBI has not yet said what it is, but they're in jail and they're in orange jumpsuits. I have the whole news story. I love these things that are coming up now on all of these sites. It's actually a revelation. It's real fun for me, and we're trying to get more of them up. If you go on to michaelsavage.com, where is it? Here it is. Arrested USF student rents home with connection to Sammy Al Arian. It's up on it's from the TampaBays.com, up on michaelsavage.com, and you see Ahmed Mohammed and Yusuf Megahed. I forgive me if I'm mispronouncing the Arabic. He looks like a megahead to me, but he's smirking at us because he knows he's going to walk and probably sue. You don't know what this does to me to see these vermin, these crawling rats running around my nation with bombs, and they know that when they get caught, they're going to be out in a few hours with a lawsuit in their hand. You don't know what it does to me. You have no idea what it does to me to see how we've lost control of this nation because we've given it to a bunch of sellouts. Listen to clip 16.
All my kids are born in this country. My wife is born in this country. I've been a good citizen. I never been arrested in my life. So I don't see why I would be targeted.
Mm-hmm. Keep playing it. Yeah, you don't have to cut it every 4 seconds.
I felt bad. I felt, this thing should never happen. I hope, I don't know the guy. I never met the guy. I want to make it clear that Temple Terrace and the United States of America is home to us, to our family.
All right. We heard it all. I heard this before. Yeah. I take a walk. Now, here's a real estate guy. He rents to two University of South Florida so-called students, more students, you see. Here I am. I have students trying to get me fired. They're all students. The sacred cow in America, the student. So here we have two students, Yusuf Megahed and Ahmed Mohammedhead, who are jailed in South Carolina right now, smirking at you on charges of possessing a pipe bomb. They rented a house from this guy who's claiming he's a good American and doesn't know who they are. But it turns out that the same home that he rented to these guys, Megahed and Mohammed, he rented to Sammy Al Arian, who had been arrested in the past. I'll be right back. Michelle Obama, wife of Senator Barack Obama, D. Illinois, responding to critics who say her husband is not black enough. Clip 22.
What are we saying to our children? If a man like Barack Obama isn't black enough, then who is? Who are they supposed to be? So we have to cut that nonsense out because it is not helping our children.
I have no idea what she's talking about, but I played it anyway. It's the first election where I've seen husbands and wives and wives and husbands. It's a new game. And boy, am I bored of it. I am so bored of this. You have no idea. I told you a long time ago that there would be so-called debate burnout. And they're just burning up their own campaign funds, and the American people could care less. I think that the real candidates, some of the real candidates, haven't even been heard from yet. I have a distinct feeling that there might be someone on a white horse that appears out of nowhere with no campaign who just might shake things up. And I don't know who that might be. It could happen. You never can tell that the American people just might be wise enough to not want professional inside-the-beltway politicians disguising themselves as American citizens. Now, here's clip 8 of Mitt Romney about immigration in San Diego on clip 8.
We welcome legal immigration. Legal immigration is great for this country. It brings culture and vitality, skill,
yeah, right.
And innovation, right. Which is helpful to this country, always has been. Right. We're a nation largely of immigrants, and that's a wonderful thing. But we want to make sure it is legal immigration.
Right.
We have to end illegal immigration. We have to protect legal immigration.
All right. Well, we all agree with that. Now here, 09.
We need to shut down the magnet of illegal employment by having...
All right, we're way past that, Mitt. You know, we're way past this. You're 5 years late on the issue.
Sanctuary city.
Turn it off. I don't want to hear it. He's 5 years late, you know. We all said this 5, 10, I said it for 15 years now, borders, language, and culture. We've all heard this rubbish before. Do something, Joe. Just don't, you know, give us hot air. KNEW, San Francisco. Lee, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Michael, I just wanted to tell you to hang in there with what's going on with Sandoval, and I also wanted to suggest you to you to pursue legal action against Sandoval. You know, I had a similar situation at UC Berkeley with the Students for Justice in Palestine there, one of their leaders, one of their board members, and I sued him, and I got a monetary judgment against him. And I think
are you a professor over there? I mean, I don't want to get into details.
I write for Front Page Magazine. I'm one of their
oh,
writers.
Oh, okay. And they sued you saying you defamed the Palestinian murderers?
Sorry? I'm sorry. I missed what you said.
The Palestinian murderers said that you defamed them by calling them Palestinian murderers?
Well, that among other things. I mean, actually what they did was they put up a website called Lee Kaplan Watch, and they started claiming I'd been sued for libel, which I never had been.
Oh, and you sued them and won. Isn't that nice? So there's a precedent. That's terrific.
Judgment from them. So you're in the position to do the same thing with Sandoval and on a much bigger
scale. Well, you heard Danny Horowitz on. You know he's as top high as they go. I mean, he wouldn't have done this if he didn't think that there was real injustice in a real case, Lee.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If you need an expert witness, I'll be glad to come in and testify for you.
All right, let's get Lee's name and address. Thanks very much, Lee. In a few minutes, we're going to have another fabulous man on. And that is Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily. Joe is a long friend of mine. I mean, I never met Joe in person, but Joe and I work together. Joe publishes WorldNet Daily. Joe has covered this case from the beginning. Do you know that Joe published my first three books, WND Books? He did. You know, I have actually a history with him. And surprise of surprises to you racist Jew haters out there, Joe is an Arab. Joe and I get along great. To all you Jew haters out there, you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool this person any of the time. This is the Savage Nation. I recommend that you go on to michaelsavage.com. And if you care to support me right now, there is a way to do it. You can buy one of my books. I mean, actually, I want you to buy the DVD or a book that you really need. I will apply the funds in my legal defense.
Savage.
It is 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Surviving Savage Nation. And the war on talk radio is what we've been talking about. In this case, it's me, the lightning rod, Michael Savage. But I'm not alone. In fact, the leaders of talk radio are being attacked, perhaps not as vociferously as I am right now. The war on talk radio, as talkers prove their influence on public policy, the sharp knives come out, says Joe Farah, editor-in-chief of WorldNetDaily.com. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's great to be with you, Michael. Thank you.
Well, you've been 100% with me from the beginning of this. I bet you never thought it would be me who would wind up in the crosshairs so fast, Joe. I didn't think it would be me, did you?
In the vanguard. You are pushing their buttons. You know what this is really all about, Michael? This is about a term that you coined years ago called the government media complex. And it was a profound turn of the phrase, because what you observed was that that the press, the whole communications industry, had become, instead of being the watchdog on government that it was intended to be, it had become a lapdog of government, and that government was essentially using the media to expand itself, to grow itself in terms of power. And that's what we're seeing. It's whether it's Sandoval in San Francisco or whether it's the Fairness Doctrine in Washington, there is an all-out war on talk radio. I'm not at all surprised you're the first guy experiencing it the way you are because, let's face it, you are pushing their buttons harder than anybody else.
Okay, you say that last month radio talkers presided over a minor American revolution when they urged millions of citizens to successfully oppose the immigration amnesty bill that the president and both political parties have been pushing relentlessly. It went down in flames, a devastating blow to the political establishment. Now it's revenge time. And they say, what kind of effect might talkers have on voters during the critically important November election just around the corner? And so I think what you're implying is what I already know, which is that both parties want us out of business. Isn't that really it?
Absolutely. Look, we don't have two parties in this country. When you get right down to it, I think many of us have come to that realization over the last 8 years. If you're going to tell me there's a difference between George Bush and Hillary Clinton or Rudy Giuliani and Barack Obama, I don't see a dime's worth of difference between these people. And, you know, so there is a political elite in Washington, an establishment in Washington that wants power. That's what they're all about. That's what most politicians want. That's what your friend Sandoval wants. That's what the San Francisco supervisors want. They want power, and when you threaten their power, like you did in this immigration debate, and like you do in rubbing these guys the wrong way in San Francisco, they're going to come after you. And that's what we see. That's why we're having this war on talk radio.
Isn't it interesting, though, that I had a friend uncover this last night, that the very same supervisors who are condemning me as we speak in the halls of San Francisco's City Hall, they passed a proclamation in 2002 lauding Hugo Chavez and his government for democracy, Joe. Can you believe this?
But see, it fits perfectly. You see, we tend to think that these guys who call themselves liberals and progressives in this country, that they actually believe in things like the First Amendment. They actually believe in freedom of speech. They give lip service to it. Hey, you know what? They gave lip service to it in the Soviet Union. They give lip service to it today in Red China. But they don't believe in it. And they are going, and let me tell you something. We haven't seen anything yet, Michael. You know, my new book, Stop the Presses, I talk a lot about the fairness doctrine and the history of it. I'll tell you something. What happened with this immigration debate, tells me that in 2009, especially if the Democrats retain control of both houses of Congress, and especially if you get a Hillary Clinton in the presidency, we are going to have the fairness doctrine back in this country. That is a guarantee in that scenario. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. That in 1987, when the fairness doctrine was scrapped by Ronald Reagan and his FCC, what happened, we had 20 years of an explosion of freedom of speech that nobody quite appreciates how big it was and how directly it was tied to the elimination of the fairness doctrine. You know, talk radio. There were 75 talk radio hosts in America in 1987, and today there's something like 3,000 of them. And so,
well, I guess that's not good for the forces of oppression. They don't like freedom, and they don't like freedom of speech. So, in 20 years, we've gone to the level of 3,000 talk radio shows. Now they want to reduce it to one voice of America? Something like Tony Snow being the only voice permitted on the media, in the American media. What's laughable about this, Joe, is that you've got the rise of talk radio, the rise of the internet with sites like WorldNet Daily being so prominent, and the decline of ABC, CBS, NBC, and the American newspaper. There is a direct relationship. Many of the people who used to read papers religiously now read the internet and listen to talk radio religiously, Joe. Isn't that true?
That's right, and you're talking to a guy who spent 20 years doing everything you can do in the newspaper business. I love the newspaper business, but guess what? The reason it's dying, and the reason it's been dying for, you know, 30 or 40 years, is because there is more competition out there. They no longer have a hammerlock of control. There are competing voices. That's why the network newscasts don't have the kinds of numbers that they once had before, because of your voice, because of my voice. And, you know, competition is a great thing. We value it in every sphere of life. You would think that liberals, of all of them, would value it when it comes to communications, freedom of speech, but they don't. And they're showing their true colors now by attacking you, by proposing a reintroduction of the fairness doctrine. And it just goes to show you.
But, Joe, this is really an attempt to subvert even Congress and the fairness doctrine by coming out in the streets. You know, tomorrow they're going to be outside my radio station, my local affiliate in San Francisco, screaming that I be fired. They're trying to pull an Imus on me. Of course, they cannot succeed because there's a big difference between Imus and myself, not only structurally but also intellectually. And, of course, I said nothing that was wrong. I said exactly what was right. They're illegal immigrants, they're criminals, and they should be deported. They have no right to a green card just because they stole an education from the American people. And the truth shall set us free. However, don't you think it's very much like hijacking even the fairness doctrine? Maybe they're afraid they couldn't even get the fairness doctrine passed, so that the powers that be, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, God knows who else is behind this, George Soros, I would guess, must have a hand in this somewhere. That would be another guess. Don't you think they're trying to take us down and talk radio one by one?
Yes, they will use any means necessary. Remember that old phrase from the late 60s, any means necessary? Yeah,
that comes from the Communist Revolution, yes, by any means necessary. You and I, you see, we have the context of history, and we understand how street theater works. We also understand how dangerous they are. They want a Chavez-like dictatorship in this country where only they and their opinions can be broadcast. Everything else has to be hidden and hushed up, and there becomes hate speech, which means any speech they don't agree with. How do we win this, Joe? Do we win this fight or do we lose it?
Well, I think the good news is that, you know, the reason they're coming after you, Michael, right now is because you are being effective. That's my consolation every time I come under attack. You know, I don't think I'd be experiencing these attacks if I wasn't being effective. So we are making a difference out there, and I think that the answer is fighting even harder. Staying on offense, not on defense. That's my prescription for, you know, taking back America. And, as long as God gives me the strength to go on, and I know it's true for you, too, that's what we're going to do.
You know, I want to tell my audience that Joe Farah and WorldNetDaily.com published my first three political books, The Savage Nation, blockbuster, huge bestseller, over 300,000 in hardcover, The Enemy Within and Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Didn't you co-publish those, Joe?
Yeah, we made some good money on that deal.
Yeah, well, you and I should talk again about another book because we had a team that was magic. It was the magic team. It really worked. And I haven't written for a while. I mean, The Political Zoo came out. We didn't do that together. It's a fabulous book. But I think it went over the heads of a lot of readers because, frankly, it was too literate. I'm sorry to tell you. But I have a couple of other things in mind, including a film. Joe, is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with? How do they find out more about your book? First of all, not only Whistleblower, The War on Talk Radio, but where can they get a copy of your book? I mean, that's an important book. Where do they get Stop the Presses?
Stop the Presses is available everywhere, but I would recommend you go to WorldNet Daily because it's so prominently displayed there. I wonder why. Also, you know, we offer it autographed. On every copy, you buy the book, you get an autographed copy, so if that interests you, great. I really think that Stop the Presses is an important book because of this threat that we face, this common threat that we face. And it's not just media people. It's not just Savage and Farah who are threatened here. It's everybody who cares about freedom and alternative voices.
Well, I hope that people flood your site because you've been behind me every step of the way here while I've been under attack. In fact, I was surprised before you go, Joe. Your article was linked by Matt Drudge over the weekend for 24 hours on it says San Francisco may condemn Savage. Remember with the picture of the Golden Gate Bridge that he ran? I was amazed that he didn't write the story himself. Rather, no one there wrote it up. They took it directly from WND and ran your site. You must have been deluged with hits.
Yeah, I think we got something like 500,000 visitors on that story in a few hours. So it's good news.
Gee.
Matt,
wow, so I would say everybody who's political in America, everyone who thinks, anyone who writes, anyone who reads the internet and these main sites, Drudge, WND, and others. So they all know about what's going on in San Francisco now, and they know what they're trying to do to me. But, Joe, I want to leave one major thing, and I think I have to send this to you. We found a friend of mine, found it, 2002, San Francisco Supervisor Sandoval and Daly and the others, who are condemning me as I speak, put out a laudatory proclamation in the halls of San Francisco for Hugo Chavez and his government, lauding him for democracy in Venezuela. You know, I rest my case. Here's a man who has banned opposition newspapers, closed down radio and TV stations, declared himself the president for life, is seizing property. Isn't this exactly what the left-wing agenda is in this country?
It's exactly right. So we shouldn't be surprised by it. We should say, okay, he's consistent. He's for shutting down newspapers and television stations around the world. He's for shutting down Michael Savage. This guy is a totalitarian. He wants a police state. He wants to be in control.
Well, Joe, you and I know that the left wing are fascists. We know that. Why are so many good Americans confused into believing that they're liberals? How do they get there, Joe?
Well, because they believe the rhetoric, you know, which can be deceptive, which can sound humane, which can sound, you know, wonderful at times. But, you know, what they fail to realize is just look at what these guys do in practice. Not 99% of the time, but 100% of the time, they cause misery. They cause genocide. They cause, you know, just unbelievable kinds of Holocaust.
Well look, here's Ahmadinejad, links up with Chavez of Venezuela, and we have the city of San Francisco attacking me and supporting Chavez and, by proxy, Ahmadinejad. How can liberals support that?
But it's the highest form of flattery for you, Michael. Remember that. It is the highest. I wish these guys would come after me with that kind of venom. It would make me...
Well, I hear that from some people in the media that they're jealous that I'm being attacked. But I got to tell you, I think that you wouldn't want to trade shoes with me right now. You know, it sounds like fun, but believe me, you don't want to walk in my moccasins tonight, nor sleep in my bed. And I mean that, of course, in a jest. I know I'm in San Francisco, and that can be misinterpreted, Joe. Anyway, Joe, look, it's you can laugh at all of this stuff, but it's pretty serious business when they try to quench freedom and freedom of speech. Again, worldnetdaily.com is to be visited. This is Joe Farah, my good friend. Joe, good luck with your book, Stop the Presses.
Thank you, Michael. God bless.
I can use it. That's right. God bless. 47 minutes after the hour, you are listening to the one and only, the absolutely one and only, the only true savage on the airwaves. And by the way, you know, you can easily misinterpret the word savage. You have to read La Pensée Sauvage by Claude Lévi-Strauss to understand how noble the savage really is. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So as we speak, the Board of Communist Supervisors in San Francisco, the laughable, they're the laughing stock of the Western world, by the way, is holding hearings today, and they're up to a measure. They're about an hour away from voting on whether to condemn me or not. I'm sure they will, because they don't know any better, and they're all evil people. I'd be quite surprised if the same people who have passed who want to pass a condemnation of me. Lauded Hugo Chavez in 02, Daley, Sandoval, Pesky, Peskin, and all of the others, Newsom, the mayor who poses as a centrist, the mayor Newsom, the son of Judge Newsom, put his name on a proclamation lauding Hugo Chavez for his democracy in 02 and has not rescinded it. I mean, if this does not shock you, I don't know what would. And that I'm being attacked by the very same people who support Chavez actually is a badge of honor. It truly is. It's like I've earned my Eagle Scout wings or something. This is amazing to me that these enemies of freedom, these enemies of property ownership, these enemies of the American Constitution would attack me is a very, very, very proud moment for me. I guess I finally see that. Tomorrow on the show, God willing, we're going to have a live microphone, a live engineer outside the radio station recording the hate-filled rhetoric of the vermin in the streets, the gutter rats, the illegal aliens, and the perverts who are trying to debase the Constitution and steal not only my rights, but your rights as well. Again, we are appealing to the FBI, the Justice Department, the San Francisco Police Department to arrest all of these people because they are declared to be illegal aliens. They are saying with a badge and proudly, I am a criminal, I am here, I stole an education, and you won't touch me. They're making a mockery of the SFPD. They're making a mockery of the Justice Department, Immigration and Customs. They're making a mockery of the FBI. They're making a mockery of the Constitution. They should be arrested. And anyone who was here legally should be released. But if they are coalescing with illegal aliens, then they have a right to be swept up in a dragnet tomorrow outside the radio station. Will it happen? Yes, if we had a legitimate government, not a government that is really against the people and for the illegal alien. That's the shame of it all. Now, one of the people who's waiting in the wings, who is a very dangerous human being, is Hillary Clinton. She's run a TV campaign. Here's the ad in its entirety. Let's listen.
As I travel around America, I hear from so many people who feel like they're just invisible to their government.
Hillary Clinton.
Right, and if you become president, you're going to bring them all into the Lincoln bedroom, one by one.
You know, if you're a family that is struggling, you don't have health care, well, you are invisible.
Oh, my God. Hugo Chavez, health care.
If you're a single mom trying to find affordable child care so you can go to work, well, you're invisible.
I'll give you that child care.
And I never thought I would see that our soldiers who serve in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I can't take her. I can't take it. I would take anybody over her. I would take anybody over this fraudulent huckster, this yokel, this dangerous yokel. We had 8 years of Hillary Clinton. You don't know what's coming if she becomes president. Well, I called her Evita Perón 10 years ago. Of course, it was picked up by great intellectuals who didn't even remember where they heard it. See, that's the power of Michael Savage. I have such an amazing hypnotic power over my audience that many people who think they despise me because they're smarter than me actually take my ideas as their own. They think they're their own because I can inject them into the minds of people. I do. I have hypnotic genius. I mean, it's not even genius. It was granted to me at birth. I guess I was the only one in the first grade with a blue suit. And so I became the announcer in the assembly in PS 48, not because I had any particular skills, but because my mother wanted her little boy to have a nice, you know, some nice clothing. So she bought me, I never forget it, a blue serge suit. To this day, blue is my favorite color. Anyway, so they made me the announcer in the assembly. And I'll never forget the day they put me in front of that audience, cold, dead cold. It's like saying, kid, here are the keys to a jet. Go fly it. Teacher took me. Maybe she thought I could do it. I don't know. She said, go out there and you're the announcer in the assembly. You walk out and there's this audience. Now, some people would run away screaming and become a sissy and be a board of supervisor like Tom Ammiano, where they have a caged audience that can't say anything to them. But that's not what happened to me. Here I am many years later on the radio. And with your help and with God's help, it's all God's hand. I know that. You may say, is he making it up? Nah. I wouldn't be here 1 second if it wasn't for somebody up there. And believe me, that somebody up there hates those vermin.
Savage.